From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. A manhunt is underway in Denmark for a gunman who opened fire on a free speech event in Copenhagen, killing one person and wounding three law enforcement officers. Audio recorded inside the cafe from the BBC captures a speaker being cut off mid-sentence by a volley of shots.
Why do we still say "but" when we...
Terry Schultz reports Danish police released a photo of the suspect and are treating the shooting as an act of terror.
Danish police say at least 30 rounds were fired by what's believed to be a single gunman outside a cafe hosting an event on blasphemy and freedom of expression. The location was well guarded and the shooter could not get inside the building. In attendance was Swedish artist Lars Vilks, who's received several death threats for his caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. The French ambassador was also present. Both men are unharmed. Danish Prime Minister Helle Thorning-Schmidt went to the scene to express condolences to the victims. She says what happened there does not represent Denmark and that citizens are filled with disgust. After the incident, the seminar continued, with organizers saying they would not be intimidated. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
Fighting continued today in eastern Ukraine between Russian-backed separatists and government forces. That's ahead of a ceasefire set to take effect at this hour. Andrew Weiss with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace says it's not clear if a peace deal will hold.
They don't seem to be willing to get directly involved, and they continue to do things on the cheap. The Minsk agreement was a great example of this, where people signed up to things, but there was no implementation mechanism and no international force that might compel the parties to comply with the agreement.
Officials in the port city of Mariupol say artillery attacks near the city center hit the city today. Rebel fighters are trying to gain control of a strategic rail hub. Snow-weary New Englanders are getting ready for another storm set to arrive tonight. As Jennifer Mitchell of Maine Public Radio reports, preparations are underway for what's just the latest in a series of blizzards.
The storm could bring 60-mile-per-hour winds and more than 2 feet of fresh powder to top a snowpack already 4 feet deep in places.
We're a little concerned with this storm because of the winds that they're forecasting.
Bob Potts is a spokesman for power company Emera Maine, which serves 150,000 customers in the storm's path.
The best you can really do is just prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Grocery and hardware stores are hosting the usual pre-storm stock-ups of food, candles, and batteries. Also trying to prepare are the region's homeless shelters. In Bangor, Maine, both of the city's shelters are full, and staff say they're relying on emergency rooms and the police department to help get people in out of the snow. For NPR News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
And the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority has now canceled all rail, bus, and ferry service in the Boston area for tomorrow. This is NPR News. It's been a decade since Lebanon's Prime Minister Rafik Hariri was assassinated. Members of Hezbollah are suspected of killing him. But as NPR's Allison Muse reports, Hariri's political heirs are now uniting with Hezbollah over a new regional threat.
Five Hezbollah members are being tried in absentia in The Hague. Witness testimonies hearken to a tough chapter in Lebanon's history, the nearly three-decade Syrian occupation. Hariri's assassination was widely blamed on Syria, using Hezbollah as a proxy. It was a turning point that eventually forced the Syrians out. Fast forward a decade and Lebanon is hosting a different kind of Syrian presence, roughly 1.5 million refugees. And with the rise of ISIS across the border, many Lebanese fear the rise of extremist ideologies in their own country. Once bitter enemies, Hariri's future movement is working with Hezbollah to try to ease sectarian tensions and elect a new president. Hezbollah's entrance in the Syrian civil war on the side of the Assad regime is a key source of those tensions. But that is not up for debate. Allison Mews, NPR News, Beirut.
Labor Secretary Tom Perez is headed to California to meet with both sides in the contract dispute affecting the flow of goods from Asia to West Coast ports. It's an ongoing labor dispute between shipping companies and dock workers. The White House decided to send Perez because of concerns about the economic consequences of more delays in the negotiating process. It's become a water parking lot in the ocean off Los Angeles and Oakland in California and Washington State's Puget Sound as dozens of ships wait for space at the dock. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.